Good morning, Bridgeway, and good morning to all of you that are online. I am just so excited and so honored and grateful to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Anybody glad to be here? Amen. You know, some Sundays I walk in church and some Sundays I run in church, and today I ran into church. Amen. I'm also so grateful and so just so very grateful for our senior pastor, Dr. David Anderson, who allows me this opportunity to stand before you. And I believe that God has a word specifically for you. And I pray that your hearts and your minds are prepared for this word that God has. Will you pray with me on this morning? Father, we say thank you. Because of you, Lord, we live and we breathe. God, because of you, Lord, I stand before you this morning to declare your word. Lord, we know that your word is already blessed. We know that your word is already anointed. Lord, we know that your word is already powerful. And so, God, I pray that you will now prepare the hearts and the minds of the people. God, I pray, Lord, that you will condition and massage their hearts to be able to receive a rhema word, something that they can walk out with, dear God, that will speak personally into their life. And then, Father, I pray that you will hide me behind you, that you will stand at this sacred desk and you declare your word through me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So as I was preparing this sermon, I'm always a little hesitant and always a little fearful because I know the commission that God has placed on my life and the importance of preparing his word and delivering his word to his people. And so I'm going to ask that as I am giving you this word that I know is from God, that you will pray. Amen. I'm going to ask that you will hear with your spiritual ears, see with your spiritual eyes, and that your heart will be receiving. If you have your scripture, well, I'm going to just say that you do have your scripture, okay? Whether it's in paper form or whether it is in electrical form, we're going to ask that you pull your word out. And I will be coming from 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. And it reads, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." And I will be using for a topic on this morning, the hidden treasure. The hidden treasure. On a daily basis, we can struggle with who we are and where we fit in. The conflicts with who we believe we are, what the world says we are, and who God knows we are can all be confusing at times as these worlds often collide. So how can we fit in or compete with the world who only has extremes? Where do we fit in if we are only average? Where is our place if we're not the most popular, not the prettiest, not the richest, not the most talented, nor are we the smartest? Where do we fit in if we are only who we are? I have tried over and over again to find my place in this world, to find myself within myself, but I continually come up empty-handed. I have gone seeking to reveal the answers to unanswered questions. I have soul-searched. I have revisited my past. I have gone into those dark and those uncomfortable places looking for direction. And although I have found solace for a minute and clarity for a bit, I would always end up in the same old place. I am convinced that sitting right here, right now, that there are those of you who have asked the same questions and who feel the same exact way. I am convinced that most of us have become these broken pieces of clay that can't even hold water at times, so scarred from the inside out that we have given up on ourselves because we have forgotten about who dwells on the inside of these clay jars. And then I am reminded of Psalm 31 at a time in the life of David where he too struggled within himself. And he cried out to the Lord in the midst of his storm, "Lord, be merciful unto me, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow in my soul, and in my soul, in my body with grief." And David felt that there were those around him who had forgotten about him as though he were dead. But then further down in the same chapter, as the fog began to clear, as he got out of his own head and began to look up to that God that had never forsaken him, David then says, "Praise be to the Lord, for he showed his wonderful love to me when I was in a besieged city." So in other words, when he was in that place in his life where there was nothing but destruction on every side, that place in his life where he felt everybody had abandoned him, that place in his life where it looked like it was going to end in death, that place in his life that where he was almost deceived into believing that God had forgotten all about him. But before it was all over, not only was he reminded that he was not forsaken by God, but he allowed his eyes to then be open to the point where he began to encourage others by saying, "People of God, be strong and take heart, all you who have hope in the Lord." I believe it was at that point of David's life where he has such a spiritual encounter with God that he was reminded of the fact that it wasn't about him. He was reminded of the fact that greater is he that was within him than he that was in his tiny little world. And so one of the biggest lessons that I learned in my life was that it was not about me. But to many, this revelation has just become another cliche. Everybody says it, but do they really mean it, or do they even really understand what it means? This is not about me statement. It's not a movement. It is not a fake it till you make it type of deal. It's not something you just say because it sounds cute. No, people of God, it's not about me. It's actually a lifestyle. It's the only thing that I actually do know. It's the only thing that I can rely on this morning. Do I have any people in the house that understand that this life that we are living is not about us? I have discovered that in all of my seeking for a better way, and even in all of my brokenness, that it's not about the clay jar, but it's about the treasure that is in this clay jar. It's about this treasure that lives in my life. It's about this treasure that lives on the inside of who I am. So while some are running around seeking answers to their questions, while some are looking at themselves and how they can compare to everything and to everybody, while some are seeking to fix up the outside to feel better on the inside, God is standing on the outside of the parameters of their life trying to get their attention and shouting, "Hey, it's all about me. It's not about the jar of clay." And Jesus is saying, "Hey, y'all, it's all about me. Attention on me and who I am." And so the focus of Paul's preaching was always about Christ and not himself. And this second letter to the Corinthians is no different. As Paul unfolds the triumphs and the struggles, he finds himself in a place of having to address and confront challenges, not just with others, but also within himself. Anybody have any challenges within themselves? But there is a single theme that we can always find in this section of the Word of God, and that is that God will comfort us in all of our troubles, and that we will be able to offer this comfort to each other. We will always have a testimony. However, some of us have misconstrued the purpose of a testimony, whether it's from the pulpit or whether from the layman's chair. It's not about getting excited about what the person has gone through. It's about getting excited about the Christ that brought them through it. It's about them being stronger. It's not about them being strong or weak. It's about the strength that was within them, that godly power, this saving grace that they have living on the inside of them. It's not about their abilities nor their accomplishments. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about eternal life being a tremendous gift from God. It's all about being introduced to God in such a way that is undeniable about who he is. He is a way maker, a miracle worker, a promise keeper, and light in the darkness. It's about the powerful simplicity of confessing our sins to the Lord Jesus and believing in our heart that God has raised him from the dead that guarantees our salvation. It's about truly understanding the power of one of the very first verses that we learned as children. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the purpose of preaching and teaching or testifying about the treasure instead of the clay jar is because the treasure can reach those that the clay jar just can't. It wasn't until I realized that it really wasn't about me that I could then sit in the presence of God and be consumed by his spirit, whether I was in church or whether I was at home. It wasn't until I realized that it wasn't about me that a total dependence on this treasure began to occur in my life that made me lean on him and him alone. It wasn't until I realized that it wasn't about me that I began to see him showing up in areas of my life that were unmistakably burning bush moments that my little hands just could not create. It wasn't until I realized that it wasn't about me that I could bask in the glory of God and see him in all of his awesomeness. And I could finally understand that no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I've been through, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you have been through, and no matter what we will go through, it will have to be the light of the treasure in the clay jar that will shine in this dark world. That my testimony without him will not have an everlasting life-changing effect, but it will just be another good story. I have no power on my own, and guess what? Neither do you. Me standing alone is like an empty, shallow vessel with no plan, no purpose, and no prosperity. The songwriter says it like this: without God, I would be nothing. Without him, my life would fail. Without God, my life would be rugged like a ship without a sail. And in our scripture text, we find that Paul's focus was not on the perishable container, but on its priceless content. God's power dwelling on the inside of us. Though we are weak, God uses us to spread his good news, and he gives us the power to do his work. Knowing that the power is his and not ours should keep us from pride and motivate us to keep daily contact with God, which is our power source. Our responsibility is to let people see God through us. As I was preparing this sermon, I kept going back to a sermon series that our senior pastor had preached on it might have been last year sometimes, on the maturity, and growing up in Christ. And that sermon hit me in such a way, and it challenged me in such a way that it made me take a really close look at what my maturity in Jesus Christ looked like. It challenged me in such a way that it helped me to understand that my maturity in Christ was not based off of how long I've been in church. That my maturity in Christ was based on my relationship and my intimacy with God. And so as I was preparing this sermon, I'm like, Lord, I don't think I'm gonna get a whole lot of amens and a lot of shouts up out of this, because I understand that it challenges us in our sweet spot, in that soft spot, in our God spot, to look and to really understand what this power of God is all about. And so I don't mind that you sit there quiet, because I would really kind of hope that you would sit there and that you would listen and that you would understand what the Spirit of God is saying. And while I'm even up here now and I feel these awkward moments of quietness, I'm going to move forth, because I know that this word is not just for me. I understand that this word is for all of us. And I understand enough about the word of God to know that if you don't get it now, you'll get it later, but you will get it. And so it can be real easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to take credit for God's handiwork. It's easy to be deceived into thinking that we've done something so grand. But Paul reminds us that as Christians that we have this treasure in us that deserves all the glory, that deserves all the honor, and that deserves all the praise. And so in this world, we have been deceived by the great deceiver. And we have even deceived ourselves to believe that we are the greatest thing that has happened to ministry and God's great plan. We have gone through hell and high waters. We have been through the fire. We've been through the flood. And some of us have even been on the brink of about to lose our minds and even our lives. Doors have been shut in our faces and chains have been tightened around our wrists. But Paul reminds us that though we may think that we are at the end of our hope, we are never at the end of our hope. And so verses 8-9 says that we are hard pressed on every side, but we, people of God, are not crushed. That we may be perplexed, but we are not in despair. That we may be persecuted, but we have not been abandoned. We might have been struck down, but we have not been destroyed. So no matter what was, no matter what the enemy tried to make you think was about you, no matter how many times you have fallen down, no matter how many obstacles you that the devil has thrown at you, no matter how many tests you may have failed or how many temptations you may have fallen prey to, be encouraged. Because this hidden treasure in you is not just holy, but it is stronger and it is more powerful than anything that can come your way. This hidden treasure within you is more powerful than the devil and your circumstances. So God knows that our perishable bodies are subject to sin and suffering. But even through all that even through all of this, God has not abandoned us. The devil wants nothing more than to inflate your ego, to destroy you and your relationship with God. He wants nothing more than to kill you and to take you out of the equation. And don't get it twisted, and don't get me wrong. This kill does not necessarily mean physically. He wants nothing more than to kill your spirit, to kill your peace, and to kill your joy. And he'll do that by any means necessary. That while you're being distracted over here trying to put out one little fire, then another little fire will start over
here? And am I the only one that can get distracted by life? Come on, people of God. But because Christ has won the victory over death, and we have eternal life, all our risk, all our humiliations and trials are opportunities for Christ to demonstrate his power and presence in and through us. So glorifying ourselves does nothing but lead to destruction and death. Paul knew that the success syndrome was and is a great enemy of effective ministry. From an earthly perspective, after leaving the Sanhedrin court and surrendering his life to Christ, Paul would not have even been considered very successful after that. And so, like Paul, we must carry out our ministry and progress in our Christian walk, seeking God and him alone. When opposition and slander or disappointment threatens to rob you of the victory, remember that no one can destroy what God has accomplished through you, because it ain't even about you. It's about the hidden treasure that is on the inside of you. And so I'm getting to the end. And so if you are struggling with who you are and where you fit in 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Y'all, this is good news. We're not just any old body. We are Christ's ambassadors, that we can be reconciled to God. It's time to reestablish a new and a closer relationship with God. We can no longer sit in our tents and be satisfied with the amazing person that we believe we are. It's not about you. It's all about the treasure you have hiding on the inside of you that's waiting to be exposed to this world. And so I felt like Paul, Sister Sandy, when he said in 1 Corinthians 2 that he didn't come with eloquence or superior wisdom. People of God, I don't come with eloquence or superior wisdom because I don't know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified and him resurrected. I come to you in weakness and even in fear, preaching with words that might not be so persuasive, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on yourself or in men, but that your faith might rest on God's power. God's actions through you should speak louder than your words any day. My dad, who just passed away in August, who was a phenomenal man of God and a phenomenal preacher, used to say, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon any day." So I don't know about you. I'm tired of the broken promises of the devil. I'm tired of putting my trust and my faith in my own strength and in the wrong thing just to be abandoned again. I'm tired of looking for resolve but finding nothing but conflict. I dare you to reveal the hidden treasure and watch and see what God can do. For eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. And so if you love him, it's time to reveal him. People really are dying and going to hell. This world has been turned upside down, with confusion and despair has entered the minds and the hearts of the people, and churches are falling away and falling apart. But even with all of this, we have a hope, and our hope is in Jesus. Amen. When the world tells us that we are limited in what we can do, we have a Savior that tells us, yes, With man, this may be impossible, but with me, all things are possible. Matthew 19 and 26. When the world wants to put us in shackles and take away our freedom, we have a Savior that assures us that if the Son has set us free, then we are free indeed. In St. John 8 and 36. When the world looks at us and think that we are not worth saving and are so willing to throw us away and to cast us aside, I am reminded of the scripture in Romans 8, 38 through 39, which says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord." And so when we struggle in our flesh, when we struggle with these clay jars, be reminded and be encouraged that when we are hard pressed on every side, when it feels that we have been abandoned, when it feels that nobody cares and that we have been struck down, we have this treasure of God that shows up in us and that operates this all-surpassing power. Rely on the treasure that lives on the inside of you. And I must say this, that on a daily basis, I am working with men and women who really don't understand what this treasure is all about, that really don't understand the importance of moving from level A and from level B. And I'm even saying to myself, Holy Spirit, I want to stop right here. I'm at the end of my sermon, but I know that if God has given it to me right now, that it's for somebody that's in this house, that you need to understand that we do not have the spirit of passivity, that God has given us this power and he has given us this strength that surpasses all understanding, and that if you would just rely on him, if you would just lean heavy on him, if you would just take him by the hand and walk life with him, if you would just utilize what is already on the inside of you. And how gracious is this God that he not only loved us, that he sent his only begotten Son, but when he went to go back with the Father, he decided to leave us a gift. He decided to dwell on the inside of these broken vessels. How amazing and how powerful of a testimony is that, that a woman like me, that a man or a woman like you have the power and the spirit of Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. How powerful, how amazing is our God. And so I pray that this message has blessed you. I pray that you understand that you don't have to leave out the same way that you came in. I pray that you understand that the next time warfare strikes up, that the next time the enemy tries to peep his head out in your life, that you learn to step up to the plate and start declaring in the name of Jesus, "Not today, Satan, not today. It will not be your day today." I pray that you will understand that you will become more offensive in your fight with the enemy and not always be on the defense, because I know that sometimes we need to learn how to go into the enemy's camp and take back what the devil took from us. So I pray you understand this power, this treasure that need not be hidden, but the whole world needs to see. And so let us pray. Father, thank you, Lord. I know, Lord, that your word has manifested everything that it needs to manifest. And so, God, we say thank you in advance. Roma just got finished from saying that we're not going to wait for the battle to be over. And so, God, we're going to glorify you now. We're going to shout now. And we are going to say thank you, Lord, because the victory has already been won. Amen and amen. Pastor Sandy.